Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, and good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you are starting your day here in a positive way on the Kim Pagano Show. I am Kim. I'm here with Tom. How are you doing, Tom?
Everything's well. Good seeing you out at the Cameo Taste Cameo.
Yeah, wasn't it great turnout out there?
And you delivered me food numerous times, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Always thinking about me.
Hey, you know, that's what it's all about. So, you know, we work together, and that's what's awesome. So, Sherry, how are you?
Fantastic.
You want to grab your mic? That would really
help. Oh, that's great.
She's not awake yet, but it's all good.
I'm sitting here. Okay, fantastic.
Okay, good. All right. And Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you. Great weekend.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, we had an amazing time over at the Balloon Festival. And then again, it was a busy week. We went to the,
Taste of Camarillo.
Taste of Camarillo, but then I also went to the Salsa Festival.
Salsa.
Oh, my God. It was a full weekend. Whoa. I'm telling you, there are so many things to do out here, and it's like, you know, just get out there. There's tons of people. Just get out of the house. Try to figure out a plan. Just put one thing that you're going to do great for yourself, you know? That's what it's all about.
And there's a lot of great things to do around here. You don't have to go far to find something really fun to do.
There is amazing things. I mean, you're out in the ocean all the time, right?
I'm out in Ventura every week.
Yeah.
Every week. Glad I didn't have lightning hit me last
week. Isn't that a freaky thing?
Yeah. I know. That's crazy. I've been hearing about it on the news.
God, I'm telling you. Anyways, down in Venice. Yeah, if anybody didn't hear about that. Anyways, I am so glad that you are here with us. We are the brighter side of the 805, and we have a great show for you today. I always want to remind everybody that right here on AM 1590 KVTA that we have another show from 2 to 3, and it's some of my, my personal Today is actually going to be some of my personal interviews, and I'd love you to tune in there from 2 to 3. Again, if you miss any part of our show, you can always go to my website, kimpaganoshow.com, and listen there. Also, download these shows on iTunes. They're all there for you to download so that you can listen to them at your free time. I do want you to write this phone number down, 805-419-0008, or you can always email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. If you have something that you want to spread the word around about and tell your friends and tell all our listeners about it, I want to be the station that helps you get that name and your word out. Again, write that number down right now, 419-0008, because, Tom, what are we giving away?
Oh, we have great prizes. One of the hottest prizes around right now is Ventura County Fair tickets. Everybody wants to go to the fair.
I'm telling you, mm-hmm. We had 17,000 hits on our Facebook because we are giving away tickets there. So, again, hit our Facebook up right now. Go and like our show, share it, and you'll be entered. Also, again, call in right now. In fact, I'll give a set of tickets right now away. One set of tickets right now. Let's start our show off at 419-0008. 419-0008. Tom, what else do we have?
We also have the Marvelous Wonderettes, Caneo Players in Thousand Oaks, excellent old-time community theater, Canyon Club, English Beat. I'll play some English Beat, bring back some memories for folks.
Oh, please do.
Big on K-Rock, New Wave, the whole MTV thing in the 80s. And then the quick list of Barkham Pet Supplies, $50 gift certificate. Noah's got some bagels for us. Soup Plantation with a nice lunch. Urbane Cafe sandwich salad gift card. And one of my faves, $25 certificate to Red Brick Pizza.
There you go. You know what? Let's start off another one. Let's give some Noah's bagels away right now, 419-0008. If you are just waking up with us, I'm so glad that you have been tuned in here to the Kim Pagano Show. We are the brighter side of the 805. And I hope that we move you in that positive, brighter side of your life. And that's what this show is all about. Our first guest is David Scott, the author of The Longest Distance. And we're going to be talking with him right now. So stay with us. Next, we'll be talking with Hank Will about his book, Comfort Food. You know, I'm all into food. And he's got a cookbook with 230 recipes for bringing classic good food to the table. And then last, we're going to talk with Jesse Saberstein, and we're going to talk about getting a life with Asperger's, lessons learned on a bumpy road to adulthood. With that, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And again, like us on Facebook and make sure you write down that phone number, 419-0008. We have fair tickets, Ventura fair tickets that we're giving away right now. So get your name in for that. And then also a dozen bagels over at my friends from Noah's Bagels right here off of Victoria. So anyways, let's start off with David Scott. Are you there?
I am, Tim.
How
thank
are
you?
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We're fabulous over here in Singapore.
In Singapore. Wow. I love it. I love when I get to talk to people from all over the world. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey and who you are.
Well, yeah, first of all, by the way, I was listening to the mention of the Ventura Fair, and that really is actually it, the journey. You know, we start off as these children. We move into adulthood, and then I think we spend the rest of our lives trying to sort of re-identify with or reconnect with the innocence, the little boy, the little girl inside of us.
I love it. That just kind of sums it up right there, you know? I mean, really, it does. You know, it's interesting. I just heard of there's a new movie coming out that he actually, I guess, taped it when he was a younger person and kind of watched him through his life. And we only take a camera, you know, of our moment where we are, a picture of where we are. But he went from his house to the, you know, I mean, it's like, did you hear, you know what I'm talking about? That movie?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. And then in general, the reference of, because I think we're all on this journey, and it's like we're playing out our own independent story, our own independent film, where each of us is sort of mirrors or windows for one another, mirrors into the reflection or a reflection of who we are in truth, and windows, if we're allowed to, into getting to know the truth and the joy in the other. So it's just this whole process of, you know, whether we're playing supporting characters or whether we're the leading character in our own story, we're all walking this journey together and also living our own life.
Wow. And, you know, okay, so The Longest Distance, you know, you talk about how you get charged from within. How do you get charged from within?
Well, to me, it's meditation. Some people, it may be contemplation. But I would say it's that meditation of what I refer to as my teacher does as spiritual exercises, because it is an exercise, just like you go to the gym and put 45 minutes or an hour to work certain muscles. I mean, to tap into this place, to bridge into a place where we're all are welcome, a greater side of ourselves, requires, first of all, the awareness and the desire to do it. And meditation is my way of connecting.
So, hi, David. This is Sherry Gaba.
Hi, Sherry.
So how about play? What do you think is the best way to get to play, to fun, play, joy?
Well, you know, isn't it an interesting one? Because play really can happen anytime, anywhere. I think, first of all, it's sort of like get in, you know, sort of channel that inner child in you once again, where you're sort of connecting with the moment, being present in the moment and whatever you're doing, simply living, simply laughing, simply loving, simply learning, and then ultimately, I guess, when it's our time to go, simply leaving. But it's in the simplicity. We create great complexity in our adult lives, but it's actually complexity is just strands of simplicity if we break it down as such. And to me, there's very specific ways I do it: getting in touch with nature, the meditation, which takes me inside, and then bringing that joy out into the world. There's lots of ways to do it, but I think it's just slowing life down into a series of now moments.
You know, it's funny. I have a puppy, a new puppy I bought a few weeks ago. And I don't know if you guys have had this experience.
So cute.
A friend of mine gave me a tennis ball. I threw it. I mean, it sounds so basic. And the dog is running and bringing the tennis ball back to me. I went, wow, this is play.
Just back and forth.
Simple.
Repetitive. Yeah, no schedule.
Yeah,
I say to my kids, this is Jennifer. No, that's right. This is Jennifer. I say to my boys sometimes, we'll be doing something very simple, not anything, you know, great fun, just an everyday activity. And I'll say, take a mental picture, because it's that time that it's kind of quiet. Mm. You're just enjoying yourselves. But I'm like, take that mental snapshot, because those are the times that you really enjoy, that I think you'll go back to later in life trying to find that calmness again.
And Jennifer,
isn't that our magnetism, our attraction to children and to animals and whatnot, is we look at, like, look at a child. A child's life, maybe 5 minutes before or 5 minutes to come, is the only thing that they're really in consideration in their lives. And that's what I meant by our trying to rediscover and reconnect, remember, like literally to include ourselves in that membership again of it is okay to live joyfully. It's okay to be connected in a simple series of now moments. It's okay to do that. And the difference between our doingness and our beingness.
You know, and I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, one, I'm so glad that you tuned in to the Brighter Side of the 805, the Kim Pagano Show. And we've got Sherry Gaba here. We've got Jennifer.
Hello.
What's your last
Chastain.
Name? Chastain. I'm sorry. And Tom Spence. And, of course, we're speaking with David Scott. And we're talking about the longest distance. What was your longest distance? Why did you write this book?
Well, I can tell you, ever since I was a little boy, I used to spin that globe. And wherever my finger landed, I was going to have a best friend. I was going to visit and have a best friend there. And I've done my best to live that kind of life. But I'll tell you, the longest distance wasn't the tens of thousands of miles that I've traveled around the world and the many places I've lived around the world. The longest distance is playing off that whole saying that the longest distance that man and women will ever travel is from our head to our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my longest distance, is just rediscovering, or let's just say awakening to that which is in my my most intelligent place, which is not in the mind, but beyond mind.
You know, it's interesting, and, you know, we have, what, three women here and two men, okay, with you, David. Men and women think so differently. Women are so more of,
I think we're bigger, not bigger picture, but I know men think in compartments.
Yes.
And I feel like women are completely the opposite of that.
Yeah, we're very sensitive in a lot of ways, but I know men are too. How have you found it to be different?
Well, I can tell you this. I sort of refer to it as sort of like when you look at the swimming pool and it has a deep end and a shallow end. Women are more courageous, truly from the root word of courage, le coeur, the French word for the heart. Women are more likely and willing to dive into the depths of the unknown, the unfamiliar, and to take that risk. Men have to have their feet solidly on the concrete below them, know where the water level is. You know, so there's a comfort level with control with men, but women tend to be more willing to let go of that and to explore the possibilities of something greater.
And, you know, David, I work a lot in recovery from Soba Malibu, and I know that for some people, especially people in recovery struggling from an addiction, they don't want to be in the unknown. They want to know everything. And really, the joy and potential really lies in the unknown. Because if what you know, you know. What you don't know, that's where all the miracles occur.
Absolutely. And I would say this again. You know, the mind is limited in its fashion. You know, there's that whole saying, as I think, if therefore I am. But that's a limitation. It's a constriction. Because there is a place that we can go and can get charged up in. You know, it's sort of a source inside us. I mean, call it God, spirit, universe, the great Oz himself. The name is not important. It's that there is something that's available to us that is greater than us, but also part of us. And when you tap into that through whatever form, meditation, contemplation, certain religious practices or spiritual following, it's just yoga itself, whatever it is that gets you connected to that place. Once you've been there, you realize that there is this whole other expansive place that exists beyond our minds that is available to us, but we just have to have the courage and the willingness to tap into it.
So how would you help somebody sort of delve into the unknown and be comfortable? Although my feeling is it's okay to be uncomfortable in your discomfort.
I think you're absolutely right about that. It's not only okay to be uncomfortable, but I think that's where all the learning takes place. If you think about it, our greatest growth comes through adversity. We hate going through it. whether it's in a breakup in a relationship or a new change in job or location. But at the same time, if we look back at the way our life has been so perfectly thread and we look at it objectively with neutrality, we can sit there and realize that everything that happened before had to occur for us to get to the moment of now. And when we look at that, then we can trust, well, okay, and many of those, all of that was unknown while it was going on. But look how perfectly contrived it was, a wonderful tapestry of possibility. And then that gives us a little bit more of a sense of, I think, hopefully, trust that to take our next step forward into yet another unknown.
David, this is Jennifer. I always feel like change is scary, but the adventure of not knowing is such a great feeling that I would hate to lose that in my life, to go somewhere and be like, well, I can work this out. It'll be okay. That just that adventure. I think that's really what keeps some people going every day.
I think so. And it's, I also do work around the world as an educator with my organization. And the fact is, it is this sense of, let's just say diversity of life in terms of our choices. The wonderful thing is, whatever your belief system, we all know that we have free choice. So we get to keep choosing and keep stepping in to what is next. And I think that, again, it's a blessing and an opportunity that we actually have that freedom to express ourselves. And I would just encourage people that, that very thing that you have a hard time facing, that very thing that keeps showing up in front of you, I mean, if you believe in it, that's your karma. That karma, that thing that keeps kicking you time and again, is the one that's kicking us not away from something, but towards something. It's not a stumbling block. It's a stepping stone.
You know, this conversation reminds me of something I quoted on Facebook today. Mistakes are the dues one plays for a full life. I mean, isn't that a great perspective?
Absolutely.
I want to hit on that karma thing. You know, karma to me is, and it's interesting because somebody just said this, to me, and I was like, karma. In my thoughts, I always thought karma was like if you did something bad,
it would come back to you.
But that's not how you're talking about it, is it, David?
No, not at all. I think karma is just, it's just we have choice. And then we have the results of our choices. So if we're making good choices, then you've got good karma on the other side. If we're making choices, I don't really ever refer to anything as bad or anything as a mistake. I would call it all the lessons and learning. So let's just call it good and the lowest degree of good.
I love that. That's I want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us, if you're just waking up right now, I'm so glad that you're starting your day in a positive way. Here on the Kim Pagano Show, we're talking about the longest distance, how to get charged from within with David Scott. You said you have an organization. What is that organization?
The organization is called Unite Education. It's at uniteeducation.com and .org. And it's just an organization where we're really creating opportunities for children, for students around the world to have greater access to what we call quality education. It's not always equal education because we're not equal individuals, but it's quality education. And I would say ultimately, if someone asked me, well, what's education, what is the ultimate purpose? I would say, just like with Michelangelo when asked about carving these brilliant divine sculptures, and said, well, he says, I just carved until I set the angel free. And that really is, whether we're parents, whether we're educators, whether we're actually just in our own process of self-education and transformation, we're all working to carve until we set that angel free, which is the gift that we were born with, what we were born to bring forward, and then being able to be allowed to do so.
David, it totally inspired me. I mean, really, there's so many more things that we could discuss with you. I'd love to have you back and get a little bit longer into this your distance here. But, leave us with one tip that we can start with that will inspire us this morning.
I would say have great courage to see the face of, and then you can answer, you can fill in the blank, spirit, God, universe, your greater self, the great Oz, but have the courage, find the courage to see the greater face of, because there's something special on the other side.
I love it. I love it. Again, David Scott, The Longest Distance. Where do we find your book?
You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the e-formats, or on our website at authordavidscott.com.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on The Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you all.
All right. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Hank Will about comfort food. Yum. I love,
macaroni and cheese.
Just all the comfort. What's your comfort food?
I love meatloaf and mashed potatoes. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Macaroni and cheese.
Tom? Mm-hmm.
I like a turkey sandwich with gravy and,
ooh,
and
like
also
an open
cranberry
face.
On
oh,
it.
Oh, that sounds
and,
really good.
And I can only comfort myself usually in one section of the year.
At Thanksgiving.
Maybe into Christmas.
Mm, I love it. And you know what mine is a short gravy that I make whenever my kids or anybody's not feeling good. It's kind of like a shepherd's pie.
Gravy's medicine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Gravy's definitely medicine.
I know. Yeah. So there you go. Anyways, all right, let's get something away. And I'm so glad that everybody's tuned in here to the Kim Pagano Show. Like us on Facebook. We are giving away a ton of stuff on Facebook. We've got so many things, comedy clubs. There's just, everything that you want to go to. There's no reason to not be out there having fun and stay at home and enjoy some of these great things. Our phone number here, 419-0008, 419-0008. How about Canyon Club?
I'm going to play an English Beat song
right here,
so let's roll with it.
Yeah, let's give away two sets of Canyon Club for the English Beat. That's August 8th, and the beat goes on. Get there, okay? Give us a call right now, 419-0008, for your tickets to the Canyon Club, English Beat, August 8th. Stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of the 805.
It's that time of year again for Phantom Screen Solutions to take care of your doors and windows. Phantom retractable door screens are simple to operate, durable, and blend with any agricultural style. Perfect for new and existing homes, Phantom Screens offers the best of both worlds. They'll give you uninterrupted views and natural ventilation combined with protection from insects and harsh glare from the sun. Call for a quote today, 805-990-1175. That's 805-990-1175.
Do you struggle with fatigue, sleeplessness, digestive issues, weight gain, or skin problems? What would your life look like if you actually felt good every day? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and ready to regain your vitality, we can help. Core Elements Wellness can help you get to the root cause of your complaints and provide you with a customized health-building blueprint so you can finally start feeling better. To learn more, call 805-277-1977 and mention the Kim Pagano Show for a special discount or check out the website at www.coreelementswellness.com. That's 805-277-1977. Feel good today.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of the 805, and where we hope that we inspire you to live your best life. And we got Sherry, Jennifer, Tom, and of course, I am Kim. And our next guest is Hank Will, and we're going to talk about comfort food. Hank, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How about you guys?
We're great. What are we going to make? I'm like, I love cooking, so this is like right up my alley. But tell us a little bit about your book, Comfort Food Cookbook.
Oh, you know, it's just a really fun cookbook that we compiled at the Grit Magazine here for, an extra project to do, and it... It encompasses a whole slew of recipes, actually 230, I think, that our readers have submitted over the decades. Really, we've got a database that goes back to about 1910, and most of them are in the computer, not all of them.
Really? Okay, so what's your favorite comfort food?
Oh, you know, it's It's pretty plain, but it's macaroni and cheese.
Okay,
there you go.
Everyone
loves
macaroni
and cheese. A man after my own heart.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's interesting? It kind of made a full circle because when you know my kids were young, I made it. You know, mm-hmm. I hate to say I made it out of the box,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now I must have really like moved to the next step because now I make it out of scratch. You know, with like tons of
different
types
of cheese.
Yeah,
and everybody's serving it these days.
Yeah,
you
it's
see
like
it everywhere.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like a you know,
it's like a yeah, it's staple, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and not only that is, you know, I mean, it's kind of like moved up in the you know, it's like a classy meal now.
In the foodie world.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's different ways to serve it, different ways to have it.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, so is this, you know, tell us a little bit about your journey, who you are.
Yeah. So I'm just a guy, you know. who
are you a chef?
Just, yeah.
You're just a
guy. Okay.
You know, I enjoy cooking from scratch myself, and I, you know, I live on a farm, and I edit some really cool magazines devoted to.
Where do you live?
We live in the rural Osage County, Kansas.
Oh, okay.
East central Kansas.
Okay.
South of Topeka.
So, on your farm, what do you have on your farm?
We have cattle and sheep. They're actually hair sheep, so we sell them for slaughter.
Okay, and are they all grass fed?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep,
that's like the definite new thing now, you know? I mean, it's interesting that makes such a difference in, obviously, the price and health, correct?
Yeah, you know, the animals get to live out their lives as they are sort of designed to, and the meat winds up being really flavorful and lean, but not at all tough. I mean, it's really takes a little bit longer to do, but we have a great market for it in our area here, and actually it's the way that I prefer to raise animals.
Do you sell your meat too? Is that what you're saying? So you raise them to sell?
Yeah. You know, we'll sell. Some folks will want an entire animal, and we'll deliver it to a processing house for them. Some folks want cuts, and we'll have
There's one thing that I just noticed that you said. You let them live out their life. Is that so? How, I mean, what's their time limit on
eat. Oh, you know, so for a grass-fed steer, say, you know, a beef animal, they're much slower growing than if you put them in the feedlot and basically force-feed them grain, which they're not really designed to eat or process very well. So we're looking at about maybe 26, 27-month-old animals that would ultimately go to slaughter. And when I say living out their lives the way they were meant to, I really mean sort of genetically predisposed to, you know, they're grazing animals. They're designed to harvest forage, living forage from grasslands predominantly and some light wooded areas. And that's what they get to do.
Wow. You know, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of people that don't eat meat, right? One of the reasons that they don't eat meat is because it has like trauma in it, you know, because it's been killed. Do you agree with that? I mean, is that something that true?
Oh, you know, I think at the end of every animal's life, there's probably a brief moment of trauma, but there are ways to minimize that. And we work with a processor that's about 7 miles from our farm who's really an animal whisperer in many ways and has a knack for coaxing animals to their final destination without getting them stressed out. They
kind of
really
like a hospice for animals, right? I mean,
yeah, I know.
You know,
it sounds kind of crazy, but yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
An animal retreat.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm going to say, yeah. When people, when I hear people lose their animals on, you know, Facebook and stuff, I want to just go, okay, so they just went to doggy heaven. They just went to, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you think that way, you know, I don't know. I guess there's a process for everything.
Well, this is Jennifer. My husband's from Texas, so we watch a lot of football in the fall. What would be a great recipe in your cookbook, and he's a meat eater, that I should look for that would be a great, great meal for the weekend for watching football with the family?
Great question.
Oh, gosh. You know, there's so many choices. I don't know if you guys are into turkey, but I just love roasted turkey.
Well, it's not just for Thanksgiving. I do enjoy turkey.
Okay, but not for the football game. Well, then I would probably have to go with something like the horseradish meatloaf.
Oh, that sounds
now
delicious.
You're talking.
I love horseradish, and I love
meatloaf. I was thinking, like, did you have a Tex-Mex recipe, because I used to have a Tex-Mex recipe for meatloaf, but a horseradish meatloaf?
That sounds delicious. I always wonder if I like the horseradish or the prime rib better, which is my favorite.
Really? But you know what I love even better is the creamy horseradish.
Oh, so God, delicious. Have a little prime rib with
how
your horseradish.
How do you make creamy, exactly, right? Yeah, how do you even make creamy horseradish? What is the, I mean.
Sour cream, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, you can use sour cream, or even better yet, if you use a real live heavy cream.
Oh.
And just you whip it, but not, you know, not to the point of being stiff, just till it's thick.
Yum.
And then really finely grind the horseradish with a little bit of vinegar, and oh man.
So are you using fresh horseradish?
In this particular recipe, you can use fresh, or you can use, you know, canned, grated,
or jarred, or whatever.
Okay. Which is what most people have.
Instead of ketchup, we have horseradish in the meatloaf. Is that
Well, the horseradish actually kind of goes into it.
It goes
into the mix before you bake it, and it just comes out not hot, too hot, spicy, but...
Can you give us that recipe? I mean, you know, it's got a kick to it.
Yeah, ooh. I bet that's really good.
No, it's totally got a kick. Yeah, do you want me to really read it to you?
Yeah. Is it a pretty easy one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Real straightforward. So it's 2 pounds of ground beef, 1 large onion chopped, 1/2 cup of old-fashioned oatmeal, so rolled oats, but not the quick ones, 1/2 a cup of Italian breadcrumb, 2 to 4 teaspoons of horseradish, and that would be grated or prepared.
Okay, the prepared that's in the jar. Okay.
And then 2 to 4 cloves of garlic crushed, or you could use 2 to 4 teaspoons of minced garlic if you got that in the jar or whatever. And then 1 teaspoon of black pepper and 4 to 6 eggs. Just sort of depends on how.
So you're kind of like, you know, mixing it all together.
Yep, you just put that all in a bowl and mix it together. I typically use my hand.
I was just going to say, I'm like already doing it right here. Yeah, okay.
Kneading it.
Yep.
How much oatmeal did you say?
A cup.
Half a cup.
Half a cup, yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, and so the oatmeal is like kind of like the breadcrumbs in a sense, right?
Yeah, and there are some breadcrumbs in there. There's a total of a cup of combination of crumbs and oatmeal, but... You know, they give it a little bit of consistency, plus they absorb some of the moisture from the meat. And then with the egg combination, you know, they help to bind it all together really nicely.
And you probably could use ground turkey, right, if you didn't want to use beef?
Absolutely. You could use any ground meat if you wanted. If you use something like venison or bison, you know, they're so lean, you might want to add just a tablespoon or two of olive oil or something to the mix.
You know, I'm laughing because unlike Kim, I'm not really a cook, but once I have like my signature dishes, and I'm thinking about this this plaque I have in my kitchen that says, you know, it says this broom came with the house.
that's good. I like
that. But you know what? I just might make this meatloaf.
Now, would you serve a mashed potato with that meatloaf?
Sweet potato.
You know,
be healthier. No.
Totally. Or you could even, you know, if you're brave and if you can get them, you could try mashing turnips or like rutabagas.
Oh, okay.
So rutabagas.
Now I'm thinking of pies.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, okay. So how would you make your rutabaga? Okay. Oh, we are all over this. This is, okay.
No, this is cool. Okay. So you get the rutabagas, you know, and if you're getting them from the grocery store, they might have wax on them. So in hot water, you can rinse off or wipe off the wax, and then basically all I do is you know, really coarsely dice them. You know, I might, or cube them, I guess is what it would really be called, and then just boil them up in a pot till they're relatively soft and mash them like you would mashed potatoes.
And then did you add anything with them?
You know, it's hard for me to take any starch provision like that and not add gobs of butter to it.
Oh, I love it. Are you really like a meat and potato man?
You know, I love my vegetables too, though. You know, I like my spinach. But yeah, I mean, I love a little bit of meat protein.
Do you have any secrets for sweet potatoes? I really kind of gave up my potatoes, my pasta, although I just had quinoa pasta last night.
Oh, yeah.
And,
quinoa pasta?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, God, I want some of that.
Almost every store has it now.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's still really as fattening as everything else, but...
But it's a healthier alternative.
It's a healthier,
absolutely. Healthier.
Yeah, and I'm kind of eating a little bit of, you know, the celiac, kind of a wheat-free, so that's kind of where I'm going. But is there any secrets that you have for sweet potatoes?
Gosh, you know, the main way that we do sweet potatoes at home is just we just cut them in half and lightly oil the surfaces and lay them on a cookie sheet and just bake them.
Wow. Okay.
And
okay.
then once they're done, you can kind of squeeze them out of whatever skin there might be. Typically, the ones we grow, you know, there's not much of a skin on them. And we'll just, you know, go to the go-to fat, and we call it butter. Put some butter, salt, and pepper on them, and I just love them that way because they're not too sweet.
Yeah, that's like my favorite. That just kind of makes a meal for me.
Yeah. You should try also soba noodles if you haven't. They're made with buckwheat flour.
Oh, I've seen soba noodles a lot lately when I've been at the store.
Yeah, really, really yummy. We use those quite often.
Soba noodles. So are those thick noodles?
They can be thicker, thin. You can. We typically get some that are, you know, a little bit thicker than angel hair pasta.
Ooh.
Yeah,
okay.
Really nice.
And what are they? What's their consistency? What are they made of?
It's buckwheat flour, so I mean, it feels very mm-hmm. much like a regular noodle. It has the same.
But very much healthier.
Much healthier.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, yeah. I love that. Soba, hello.
I'm
soba
laughing.
Noodles.
I heard that. Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything, but like, you know, that's pretty
I feel
funny.
Like we can still enjoy comfort food. We just have to look at the new things that are available to make it a bit more healthy.
No question. I love it.
Absolutely.
And is that kind of like the gist of your book, is making it a little bit healthier?
Well, you know, I think our principal overarching theme was to make it from scratch using whole ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tried as often as we could to limit things like, well, certainly anything processed. I think there's one recipe in there with a can of cream of mushroom soup.
That's like my life. I still love my mushroom soup, I have to tell you, you know? Oh, God, I love it.
But we try to, you know, substitute out or at least cut back on sugar and white flour and those kinds of things.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. Okay, great. And so leave us with one thought that you've really, I mean, you've gotten all these recipes from all these different people. What's the most popular one?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's impossible. It's really impossible for me to pick one, but actually not the horseradish meatloaf, but the meatloaf supreme is one that's the most popular around the office. We had a meatloaf cook-off, and it was the one that won, you know, the...
So a meatloaf cream. Okay, wait. Talk to us about that really quick
here.
Yeah,
so we have a bunch of meatloaf recipes. This is probably a little bit more traditional meatloaf. It's got, except that it's on the inside, we've got onion and bell pepper, which adds a nice little bit of flavor. And it's got milk added to it, significantly less carbohydrate in the form of crumb, and no oats in it. So it's got quite a bit more herb. A little bit more herb in it, parsley, basil.
Will, do you use onion, like a fresh onion that you've chopped?
Yes.
Okay, sometimes I'll sneak in minced onion, and I have to say it's a good substitute for when you don't have an onion on hand if you're making a meatloaf.
When you say like the seasoning?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
No kidding, yeah. And they don't come up sort of as hard little chunks.
No, they don't. They definitely, I mean, I use ground beef, so I have a lot of juice in there, but I'll use a minced onion, and it does give it a different flavor.
Jennifer, are you a good cook?
I think I'm a good cook, and I
do enjoy it.
I enjoy cooking, and I make dinner almost every night.
You do.
I think my mom did that growing up, so I feel like that's what I need to do.
That's me too.
Absolutely.
Isn't that funny?
So meatloaf is a staple.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting.
Odd man out.
But that's okay because you have a different lifestyle,
I
right?
I have. When I was raising my daughter, I cooked.
Yeah.
That's quite a few years.
Yeah. Tom, does your wife cook?
Yes, she's very good.
Yeah. Do you have dinner pretty much every night?
Yes, we do. And obviously we eat dinner every night, but generally it's something creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not just. Yeah. She's good.
It's interesting because I'm kind of always looking for some new idea.
Some new recipe.
And then I always go back to my couple staple things that, you know, that I make. But I am always trying something new. And so when the kids are like, Mom, that was really good, I'm like, oh, God, where did I get that from? Because usually I'm not one to really read exactly the recipe. I'm like, okay, I kind of, I'm one of those, like, what do I have on hand?
That's a good cook. I can't always do that. I'm definitely a direction follower.
So you read.
But I always appreciate someone who can say, what do I have in my refrigerator? What can I create?
Yeah, I'm always pulling it together, you know. And
I envy people like you.
Well, really you have do. Different gifts.
You I have know, different right? gifts.
Well, I can do yes. something different. We all have our areas of brilliance, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now, Hank, do you cook all the time?
Well, my wife does most of the cooking, but there are times when we cook together, and I have some specialties that I actually do. I am the meatloaf guy.
So that's your specialty, and the mac. Okay. Yeah. So how do you make your mac?
You know, at home, I dice up a carrot. An onion.
I was going to say a carrot. That's totally a twist.
Give it some color, you know.
Yeah.
But and then basically simmer it or fry it or whatever you call it in butter to bring out the starch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I make my white sauce with that so it doesn't have any flour in it.
Oh, so how do you make your white sauce?
So you add whole cream then to that and then just sort of gently heat it and stir it and it will begin to thicken, and then I just throw in a ton of whatever cheese I have on hand. Some of my favorite is like Gruyere.
I love Gruyere.
And, you know, a really sharp cheddar is really nice in there sometimes too.
Wow. And so you saute the onions, you add the fresh cream.
Kim, yep. really
I know, I'm
this.
Like, I know, yeah. I'm like,
we're all going to leave
here
starving this
afternoon.
I'm all ready
to go home and make this
afternoon.
For dinner tonight. So.
Salt and pepper, right?
Yeah.
Just the taste, anyway.
Yeah, all right. Well, gosh, yeah. You know what? Now, do you have any, since it's breakfast time right now, is there any breakfast that you have in, what would be a staple for breakfast, a comfort food for breakfast?
I think, you know, biscuits would always be on the...
with gravy.
Uh-huh.
Towards the top end of that list, you know, biscuits and gravy or biscuits with honey, or even I like biscuits with maple syrup on them.
Mm.
And we've got several recipes for biscuits in this book and gravy, easy sausage gravy.
Do you have some great breakfast casseroles in your cookbook?
You know, there's a few, mostly sort of on the quiche side of things.
Okay.
French toast to me is the first thing that comes up. I don't know why.
That's I love French toast. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's very fatty. I gave that up. Okay. But every once in a while, it's like, I just want to feel good. So, and it is interesting how food really makes you feel good. You know, it kind of takes you back to.
I think it evokes memories.
Yeah.
I
mean, I
where
have
you
some
were in your life.
Amazing soups that my grandmother used to make. And now, and each one of my kids have like kind of added a little bit better, you know, and it's like, oh, this even tastes better than this is closer, you know. So, Hank, awesome interview.
Hey,
I'm really excited to learn more. Is this your first book?
This is our second book.
Ooh, will you send me your first book, too?
Yeah, sure. It's all about lard. It's all about cooking with lard.
Oh,
there
wow.
you go. That is some comfort food.
It sounds like a Jewish cookbook.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. Well, I would love to talk to you more about it. And, send me your books. And I'd love to, you know, follow you where you're going with everything.
No, that's very cool. Thank you.
You got it. All right. We're going to take a really quick break. Where do we find your book? I didn't even ask you that.
You can get it at www.grit.com. Barnes & Noble stores, and you can order it at your favorite online bookseller as well.
There you go. All right. Sounds good. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And again, if you're just tuning in with us right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of the 805. And we got lots of stuff to give away, and we've been giving away all the way through the show. The phone number here is 419-0008. I do want to remind you of our 2-3 show right here on AM 1590 KVTA. And thank you for making us one of your favorites. It's so great to meet people out in the industry and just all the people that listen and tune in here. And I'd love to give away another set of Ventura County Fair tickets. Let's do that right now. Another set at 419-0008. Call us right now and leave us your name, your number, and one of the team members will get back with you. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's that time of year again for Phantom Screen Solutions to take care of your doors and windows. Phantom retractable door screens are simple to operate, durable, and blend with any agricultural style. Perfect for new and existing homes, Phantom Screens offers the best of both worlds. They'll give you uninterrupted views and natural ventilation combined with protection from insects and harsh glare from the sun. Call for a quote today, 805-990-1175. That's 805-990-1175.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
It's that time of year again for Phantom Screen Solutions to take care of your doors and windows. Phantom retractable door screens are simple to operate, durable, and blend with any agricultural style. Perfect for new and existing homes, Phantom Screens offers the best of both worlds. They'll give you uninterrupted views and natural ventilation, combined with protection from insects and harsh glare from the sun. Call for a quote today, 805-990-1175. That's 805-990-1175.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for all those phone calls right now, 805-419-0008. And we've been giving away lots of stuff. Ventura County Fair is starting here July 30th to August 10th. Lots of concerts, and, they've got food, like you said. Do you go every year?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I love a funnel cake. There's nothing better than carnival food
okay,
and a
so
funnel cake.
Okay, so we have talked about every fattening thing. You know?
I know, right?
I know.
But I want to know, is there shopping? You know, you guys are foodies. I'm a shoppie.
Oh, yeah,
there
is.
Shopping at the Ventura, like
yeah,
arts and crafts?
Yes.
Because that's my thing.
My mom actually entered a blanket in the fair.
What kind of blanket?
She entered a crocheted blanket. Last year, she entered a quilt, and she won first time she's ever quilted, and she won first place.
My mother-in-law is a quilter and has, oh, my God, the most, she's given us the most amazing
And it's
quilt.
Completely skipped a generation. I cannot do anything like that.
Are you even interested?
You know, I have to always say, honestly, my mom does it so well, why bother learning? And that's kind of a problem because... You know, I mean, I don't know if she'll be able. I know, right?
Exactly. But okay, she does. So it's kind of like my mom. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about traditional food, and my grandmother was an amazing cook. My mom was an amazing cook, and so this last couple of the holidays, you know, my mom's like, I better just teach you how to do this.
They're both English, right? Your parents. So was it English? Okay. What would be considered the English food?
The shepherd's pie.
Oh, that's why you know how to do that stuff.
Yeah,
okay, so, I got it.
Yeah. So. But, you know, I mean, we need to carry on that tradition.
We do. It's very true. I think you have to remember it doesn't have to be perfect, which is the hardest thing for me. I am not going to be able to do that. But there are those things that I think are a dying art to some extent nowadays.
Right, right. I know. What is your tradition?
You know, speaking from a therapist's point of view, I think tradition allows for structure. You know, a lot of that is lacking in the families today. I mean, I was a single mom, and so I try, you know, our traditions were a little kind of interesting. We would go to like CPK. We'd go to like restaurants where you had a counter, and you'd watch them cook, and we kind of felt like we were part of the restaurant. We're part of the chefs. It was sort of like a way to feel like part of a family because it was just the two of us. So feeling like a family, even though we weren't a family, was sort of our tradition.
But I don't think it has to be the tradition that's inside the box of what everybody thinks it is. Like you said, going to the counter at CPK, that's something that you did, and I'm sure your daughter will.
And she remembers it.
I was just going to say that. She'll always remember that.
Do you want to know what I remember? This is funny. When you were saying that, I'm thinking, CPK, really? But you know what? When it rained or thundered and lightning, my dad took us for ice cream.
Right.
Go figure.
Isn't that so funny?
You know,
little
people
things.
Eat it when it's in the summer, but no, when it was cold and rainy, we'd be like, it's ice cream time. Let's go. You know, I mean, it's the craziest things that you remember.
I would even take her for sushi because then we could sit there and watch the sushi chefs. And she loved that.
Oh, so you like to have different chefs.
Just to feel like we're part of, you know, when it's just the two of you. I mean, you know, maybe it was my own
Did your mom and dad cook?
My mom did, yes. In my family of origin, yes. We definitely had dinner every night. Every night she cooked. I mean, she worked all day. She cooked at night. I mean, it was incredible what she
did. You know, let's talk a little bit about that. Okay, work all day and then come home. And a lot
of
people. Yeah, I do the same thing. It's important for me to. And now my husband, you know, we cook together because now our kids are never.
So it's something you do with each other.
Yeah. And so I'll be like kind of put a little text out to everybody. Anybody coming home for dinner? You know, and it's kind of funny. Like last night I made this quinoa pasta. And oh my God, I had the best spicy meatball with sausage or sausages. And my husband made it because I'm like, okay. And I mean, in the morning you wake up and go, what are we going to do for dinner? Like, really? We haven't even eaten breakfast yet.
Isn't that
yet,
funny?
You
know? Before I got here, I woke up extra early this morning. I wanted to make sure we had a nice dinner on Saturday night. And I started marinating my flank steak.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, I had that Friday night.
Flank
yum,
steak?
Yum.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what do you marinate it with?
I use the soyve. It's a recipe, and I marinated the flank steak. It's a friend of mine's recipe with spinach and onion. It's delicious.
Oh, what's the spinach and onion part?
Well, you put the flank steak on the spinach and onion at the end, and so the heat of the flank steak sort of wilts the spinach, and I lightly saute the onions ahead of time, so they're a little bit softer.
Oh, so it's kind of just baked.
You lay it on a platter, and then you put the flank steak on top of the spinach and the onion.
On top of it.
So the warmth of the flank steak sort of wilts the spinach.
And then you slice it
and
all.
Then you slice it really thin. It's very, very
and
good.
And so you don't really, that's your vegetable, your
that's
meat,
your vegetable,
and your everything.
Exactly. And then I'll make a starch for my husband.
Like a potato.
Yes, something that's like brown.
Potato
because he
man.
Definitely eats the brown menu.
Yeah. And now, do you eat a potato?
I won't usually eat a potato. I love a potato, but it's one of those things that you kind of think you shouldn't eat it. So there's a little bit of guilt associated with it.
When did all this change? That's what I want to know. When did it all change? Because we were talking, my husband and I, of, you know, why are so many people getting ill and cancer is so rapid right now? And, you know, our grandparents, they ate everything out of the ground. They didn't really, I mean, my grandma used to pour the salt on, you know. And what changed?
I think you're right. I think there's something about going out to eat all the time.
Yeah, or the processed food.
I have to agree.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I have totally changed our whole way of eating, you know, in our home. I mean, we have, you know, I got to bring you guys some plums in and peaches in off my tree.
That would
but,
be great.
You know, I really try to, I have kale out that I pick, you know. So you just try to eat a little bit cleaner. It's cleaner eating.
Absolutely, much cleaner eating. And I read somewhere, and I don't know if this is true, but if you could try and serve your family the same quality of vegetables that we all had when we were young, you're that much better off because the pesticides that are out there now that are used, all of that. I don't know if it's true. It's just food for thought.
Yeah, something and now they about. Even make like soap that you wash your, you know, you wash your vegetables and you wash your. I'm like, what's in that soap too? You know,
I know, right?
I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know. We're process.
Well, like Jennifer said, you have to be. Jennifer, you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah,
exactly. I think if your dinner is a healthy, rounded, good meal, you can serve your kids a fun lunch or yourself. You can have something that's not terrific or, you know, just to try to be 100%, I think is where we all get bogged down if you just try to do a little bit of it.
Yeah.
You know, another tradition I really appreciate growing up was vacations. You know, my parents worked really hard. And when I think about this, I have so much gratitude to them. I mean, they would plan vacations around a family vacation. They didn't just run off the two of them on some romantic week. You know, it was just always like Disneyland
or not,
you know, and I think about my own life. I mean, I got to be honest, I would find time to do my own vacations. And
now, were they big vacations on an airplane in a hotel or were they camping
vacations? We didn't
have
the kind of money growing up to do the big ones. Later, we did one Hawaii trip, but mostly it was like, you know, we went camping or
those are the best
we went
memories.
To San Diego Zoo.
Yes.
Or,
we went to Palm Springs.
We went to Palm Springs.
We'd stay at a hotel and it just was fun. Those are great memories.
I don't think you have to go somewhere amazing to have a great family vacation. We always went on camping vacations. And those were I make sure my kids get to do that every year because I truly believe those are the best memories.
What memories are you making for your kids right now? That's a huge question. Are you making, you know, I mean, because we always were camping in our motorhome. We, you know, we're on the river in Laughlin. You know, we're always kind of, you know.
Doing stuff together as a family that's I think that's really important. We did everything as a family. I never went to Disneyland until a senior in high school without my family. So I really try in this busy day and age to make sure we do things together as a family.
Yeah, it's so important.
Yeah, I would take my daughter, don't laugh. Remember, I was a single woman, like to Club Med, but family Club Med.
That's
so there would
awesome.
Be something for me really to do fun. And something yeah. for her to do. And then another thing we did every year was something called single parent camp. And, you know, that was like a
That's
tradition.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
I got around, Cherry.
I was the
Club
resource.
Med.
I was
That's
the resource
fancy.
Queen, you know. I mean, I made a little life for her.
And you know what I think is so brave is, like, you know, there's a lot of people that don't want to go out by themselves.
Right.
Okay. And if you're single out there, you know, it's interesting when you kind of all of a sudden either become single and you've, you know, kind of been a couple for so long. How do you walk through that, you know, integrity to be on your own? That's a big
question.
Well, the
one thing, you know, I would have done a little differently. I mean, at times I was, you know, I'm going to say this. I think it's important to believe you're a family no matter what.
My parents were divorced, and I have to tell you, in terms of family and traditions, I forget because we were family. I mean, we saw my dad. We had those traditions. And with my mom, we lived with her. And those were our family
yeah,
traditions.
Yeah, very important.
My parents
not,
were the
not
same,
Not to feel
too.
That you're
that
different.
We were divorced.
You know,
Absolutely.
And there were times I
we
would feel
family.
A little different. Well, you know, back in, I mean, well, that's great. Because you're a little, you know, obviously when you were a child,
Absolutely.
You were a little younger. But a little younger than my daughter, so.
Yeah. Ladies, we are at the end of our show. What a great show. And I do want to remind everybody of our 2 o'clock show here we're going to be talking a little bit about a lot of different little things that I've been, you know, passionate about. And I want to thank you, Jennifer, Sherry, Tom, and all my listeners out there. Again, like us on Facebook and tune into our 2 o'clock show right here on AM 1590 KVTA. Again, if you missed any part of our show, you can listen on my website, kimpaganoshow.com or iTunes. And of course, I'm going to end our show with a moment of happiness. Go forward in life with a twinkle in your eye and a smile on your face, but with great and strong purpose in your heart. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Have an amazing weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.